This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. The following is testimony by the Center's chief economist, Chad Stone. He discusses how low-income households will be affected by climate change policy before the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources on October 21, 2009.
Thank you, Chairman Bingaman, Senator Murkowski, and other members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important topic. I am chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a public policy organization working on budget and policy issues at the federal and state level with a special emphasis on low-income programs. One of the key messages you've heard today is that there are two important aspects to how a cost-effective climate policy like cap and trade affects consumers. The first is the effect due to putting a price on carbon, i.e. making it more expensive to continue to use dirty energy. The second is the effect due to how the emissions allowances that are the instrument for enforcing the cap on emissions are allocated, or how the revenue arising from auctioning them is used. Trying to judge the effect of the policy on consumers by focusing on just one or the other of this on one or the other side of this equation will give an incomplete and misleading picture. My testimony focuses on how these two effects play out with a special emphasis on low-income households. The essential points of my testimony can be summarized as follows. They're elaborated on in my written statement. First, low-income households bear a disproportionate burden of the costs associated with effective policies to reduce the use of carbon-based energy because they spend a higher proportion of their budgets on energy and energy-intensive goods and services than higher-income households do. That's the cost from putting a price on carbon side of the equation. The bad news is that without well-designed policies to offset the impact of these costs on low-income households' budgets, policies that are effective at controlling greenhouse gas emissions and achieving the benefits of fighting global warming could push more families into poverty and make many of those who are already poor still poorer. The good news, and this is important, is that this dire outcome is preventable. There are effective ways to use a portion of the revenue that can be captured through the auctioning of emissions allowances to protect low-income households. That's the how do you use emissions allowances side of the equation. So you have the costs, but you can offset the impact of those costs on vulnerable populations through the wise use of emissions allowance value. The Waxman-Markey bill passed by the House contains provisions to do just that, using existing mechanisms with widespread reach to deliver benefits efficiently to the most vulnerable households. My written testimony contains a detailed discussion of the principles for effective low-income relief that we at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities have developed based on our experience over the years in designing and evaluating low-income policies. In the House bill, low-income households receive their share of the benefits from the free allocation of allowances to utilities, that is the main form of broad-based consumer relief in the bill, but that falls far short of filling the gap in the budgets of low-income households from putting a price on carbon. The main policy in the House bill that helps low-income households is the direct energy refund delivered through the existing electronic benefit transfer systems, or EBT, that states use to deliver food stamp benefits and a variety of other cash assistance. Together with the utility-based relief, this direct refund provision ensures that the average person in the poorest fifth of the population does not incur a financial loss as a result of climate change legislation. I would add as an aside that it's important to ensure that that states have adequate resources to administer programs that will fall under their responsibility. Special attention to protecting low-income households remain essential when policymakers consider broad-based consumer relief that extends farther up the income scale to middle-income households. As I have just described, for example, the House recognized that the utility-based relief it relied on to provide broad-based consumer relief was insufficient by itself to fully protect low-income households. It is also essential to have an effective delivery mechanism for reaching low-income households. Tax-based policies alone, for example, would fail to reach the millions of low-income households that do not file tax returns. Similarly, making sure that you have the right delivery mechanism is one of the most important challenges in a cap and dividend approach, also for reaching those populations that are generally not easy to reach in the low-income group. My written testimony elaborates on a number of these points, and in wrapping up, I would like to point to a couple of other things. First, last week, you heard testimony about the effects of climate policy on the economy generally. My reading of the evidence is that the net cost per household on an economy-wide basis is relatively modest, especially in the early years. But it is important to remember that that relatively modest net cost, that's the triangle in Dr. Metcalf's testimony, we economists are big on sophisticated mathematics, like triangles and rectangles, but it is important to remember that the relatively modest net cost is composed of a gross cost from putting a price on carbon and a gross financial benefit from how the allowance value is used. How the allowance value is used will determine the distribution of costs and benefits, and that can differ greatly among different policies, also as Dr. Metcalf's testimony pointed out. Second, my testimony contains a more detailed discussion of the policy advantages of direct refunds to consumers over other approaches to providing consumer relief, and in particular echoes some of the concerns you have heard about the utility-based relief that's in the House bill, the LDC allocation. Finally, as the Senate moves forward with its deliberations, I hope that they will build on the solid foundation of low-income assistance that is in the House bill. I discuss things in my testimony that can be done to improve on that policy and to extend relief farther up the income scale to moderate-income households. But the basic structure of providing a benefit to all eligible households that is adequate to offset their average loss of purchasing power and to use a portion of the allowance value to fund that benefit is critical to meeting the key goal of ensuring that the policies necessary to reduce greenhouse gas emissions do not add to the hardship of people who are already experiencing substantial hardship and are already struggling to get by. Thank you, and I look forward to the questions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.